Well, it's an honor and a privilege to once again be called upon to fill in for Brother Dallas while he is out. He is out this weekend in connection with a wedding, which many of you, I'm sure, know about. And so he'll be back tonight, and we look forward to his return tonight. In the meantime, y'all have to put up with me. So I thought somebody'd chuckle or something. Man, that, wow, okay. All right, well, before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here in this place this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ and to worship you here in this place. Lord, I thank you for the songs that have been sung in praise to your holy name, the prayers that have been lifted up, all that has been said and done. We just pray that will honor you and glorify you. Lord, I pray now as we look into your word that you would speak to us through your word, that through your Holy Spirit you would open our eyes and our hearts to understand and receive your word, and that it would transform us to be more in your likeness. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. Well, today I'd like to present a message that I've titled, A Good Run. A Good Run. In American politics, as we're all familiar with, now I'm not preaching politics, so don't get scared, okay? But in politics, when someone tries to get elected, it is said that they are running for office, okay? Now, they're not literally running, okay? You don't see them out there jogging or whatever, at least not most of the time anyway. They're not literally running for anything, but it's said that they are running for office. And if they win, then it was a good run. Okay, so even though no one actually runs, the political campaign is called a run. The Christian life is also described as a run in the Bible in a couple of places, but one of those is the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we'll look at that this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here the Christian life is described in terms of a run, and that metaphor is used to describe the Christian life and our dedication to Christ in it. Now, the writer of Hebrews has been writing to, of course, the Hebrew Christians of that day, of the first century, gone into great detail about the new covenant in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is both the sacrifice and the high priest for us in this new covenant. And he's gone into great detail explaining all of this for the Hebrew Christians, who in that day were kind of confused as to the relationship between the Old Law and the New Testament. And how does that all work? And some of the theological questions there. So the first 10 chapters deal with all of that in great detail for the Hebrew Christians. And then in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, we come to a passage that's often called the Hall of Faith. And there the writer of Hebrews goes into listing great figures of faith in the Old Testament and how they lived by faith. And then we come to the passage in chapter 12, where he goes from there and launches into what this all means for the Christian life now. We've got all of this theological background. Well, how does that play out in our daily life? And that's where he starts here in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. So here's the words that he writes. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." A good run. We all want to have a good run. I'm not talking about a physical run. I'm talking about a spiritual run. Our spiritual walk with the Lord in this life. And that's what this passage describes today. In the passage, we see four traits of a good run. First, a good run is inspired. A good run is inspired. Notice in verse 1 there of our passage, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, anytime you see a "therefore," you need to figure out what it's there for. I know that doesn't sound very deep, but it's true. I learned that a long time ago. If you see a "therefore," what's it there for? Well, it's referring back to what was described previously in chapter 11. He's talking about those in the hall of faith, those who lived for God, who had faith in God in the Old Testament times. "Therefore, because of all that he has written up to now, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." That word that is translated "witnesses" in the English language is the word from which we get the word "martyr." And a martyr, we think of a martyr as someone who is slain for their faith, and often they are. But the word "martyr" literally means witness. The reason those people were martyred was because of their witness for Christ. And so he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." He's talking about those old witnesses. If you go back to chapter 11, he mentions the faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the faith of Noah, the faith of Moses, and the faith of many others. Many of those who suffered for their faith, but they endured and they lived for God. He's talking about those witnesses. And the imagery we have here is that of a race inside of a huge arena, a coliseum, if you will, where you have the track. And it would be like a big football stadium today, where you've got the risers going up higher and higher and higher, and you've got multitudes of people sitting up in the stands looking down, watching the race that's going on down below. And the ones who are sitting up in the stands are the ones who previously ran the race. They're the witnesses. They can personally testify to what it means to live by faith and serve God. That's why they're witnesses. And those witnesses are in the stands now. They've finished their part of the race, and they are looking on for us who are still in the race. It's as if it's a relay race, and they've passed the baton on to the next runners, and now they've gone and taken their place up in the stands, and those who have received the baton, they're still running, and the ones who have passed it on are up there watching to see how the race is going to turn out. Now, that's kind of neat to think of it that way, isn't it? We can gain inspiration from those who have gone on before, those who have walked with God before, those great men and women of faith that we know of. We can gain inspiration from their life, that they lived for God. We see many listed in the scriptures of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know from Christian history those who have lived for God since that time. You, I'm sure, know of godly men and women who have been important in influencing your life, who may have gone on to glory now, but you can still gain inspiration from what they taught you when they were here. So it's both instructive and it's inspirational. The lives of these saints who have gone on to be with the Lord and the work that they did for Him while they were here. So a good run is inspired. Since we're surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So look to the lives of those who have gone on before, those saints of old, as examples of how to live for God and gain instruction from their lives, and also look to their lives as inspiration. Someone who lived for God, that's inspirational. You know, they were people just like us, and they lived for God. And if they can live for God, then so can we. Well, not only is a good run inspired, but also a good run is unfettered. A good run is unfettered. Notice in verse 1, once again, he says, "Let us lay aside." And he lists two things that we're supposed to lay aside when we engage in the race. First, he says, "Let us lay aside every weight." Now, this could be anything that weights us down in the race. Whatever would slow us down, weigh us down, he says, lay that aside. Put that to the side. Get rid of that and engage in the race. You know, there are a lot of things in life that aren't necessarily bad things in and of themselves, but for whatever reason, it tends to interfere with our walk with God. Those things are a weight. It weighs us down. It slows us down in our progress in the faith. And anything that would slow down your relationship with God needs to go. You lay it aside. You put it off. If a runner shows up to the track with a big old backpack on his back, well, he's not going to run with that backpack on his back. He's going to take it off and lay it aside. Then he'll run the race. Get all that weight off so he can run faster and do better in the race. So anything that interferes with your walk with God, lay it aside. Get rid of that thing. Because your relationship with God is more important than anything else in your life. I thought somebody would say amen about that. It's true. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. More important than anything else. If your relationship with God is right, the rest will fall in line. Now, I'm not giving you a pie in the sky telling you if you believe in Jesus, everything's going to be hunky-dory and floating on a cloud. No, we're going to have troubles in life, but God's there to walk with us through the troubles in life. And He can help us get our life in order. Let us lay aside those things that would weight us down and keep us from God. So every weight, and then the second thing, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Sin interferes with our relationship with God. Sin is the reason that Jesus came in the first place. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, because our sin separates us from God. And so when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we put our faith in Him, we repent of our sins, and we are saved. But that does not mean that we never sin anymore after that. The sad fact is that we are human, and we do sin. And when we sin as Christians, it does not mean that we are lost then, but it does mean that our relationship with God is hindered. It slows us down in the race that God wants us to run. And so to get in the game, to do well in the race, we need to lay those things aside. When we fall into sin, we go to God and we confess that sin to God. We repent of that sin. We ask God to forgive us. We ask God to cleanse us. And we move on, and through God's grace, we don't do that thing anymore. Lay it aside. Get that thing out of our life. You know, there's some things that are little sins, or so we think they are. Well, nobody would know about that. It's not hurting anybody. Well, maybe nobody knows about it except God. He knows about it. And maybe it's not hurting anybody that we can tell, but it does interfere with our relationship with God. And in that sense, it hurts you. And the sooner we confess it and repent of it and get rid of it, the better off we'll be. The faster we'll run in that race that God has us in. And that's good for us. So lay those things aside that hinder us from walking with God. That word there that says ensnares us, it's like it wraps around. It would be like a big bulky garment. Can you imagine a runner that would come in with a snowsuit on, big puffy snowsuit, and try to run a race like that? I mean, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? They'd be so much slower than all the other runners, they'd fall way behind. They can't run with that big bulky thing on. No. If they want to run a race, they've got to take that off, all that bulky stuff that's wrapping them up, put it aside, and put on the lightweight shorts and t-shirt and running shoes, those things that are going to help them run faster on the track. And so that's what God wants us to do in the spiritual realm. Those things which are wrapping us up, holding us back, keeping us down, slowing us down in our walk with God, get rid of all of that stuff. Lay those things aside and run for God. Well, thirdly, not only is a good run inspired and unfettered, but thirdly, a good run is enduring. Enduring. Notice he says at the last part of verse 1, it says, "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Endurance, patience, staying on the course, even when it gets difficult. You know, the Christian life isn't easy. If anybody ever told you that just believing in Jesus and everything's going to be all right in your life from there on out, I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. Christians have difficulties too. Just because you have a difficulty in your life does not mean that God's done with you. It just means that we live in a fallen world and bad things happen here. And so when those bad things happen, we're running along real good. Something bad comes along. Oh, it tends to slow us down. Man, I don't like this thing. It distracts us from the run. It slows us down. It's painful. It hurts. It's like running and you get a cramp. Ooh, wow. It slows us down. But run with endurance. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a long distance run. A sprint's real quick. They fire off the little gun, boom, and you run real quick and then you're done. But long distance run, a long relay run, that takes some time. And a runner who's going to run a long run has got to be a person of endurance. You run until you don't think you can run anymore, and then you run some more. Because as Christians, it's not just about us and our ability to run, but God empowers us for the run. He doesn't command us to do something that He is not going to give us the power to do. So we rely on God's power to do that which we cannot do in the natural. That's the supernatural part of it. That's God working in us to run the race. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, the runner doesn't get to determine which track they run on. They have to run on the track that's there. The runner didn't build the track. They run on the track. God has laid a track before us. There are certain options that we have in this life that God has laid in front of us. Each runner, if there's multiple runners on a track, each one runs in a certain lane on that track. And so we're supposed to run in the track that God has put before us. But there's blessing in that. What track has God called you to? Maybe God's called you for a specific purpose in your life. What is that? And are you running in that track? The writer here would encourage us, get on that track and run it with endurance. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep going. God is with you and God is encouraging you. And the old time saints are watching. Run the race with endurance. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. You know, I've told people before the reason that I graduated college was not because I was the smartest college student, because I was not. There were many people who were much smarter than me that dropped out of college. You know the reason I graduated college? I was too stubborn to quit. And that's the truth. I just refused to quit. I crammed a 4-year degree into 7. Okay? But I made it because I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I just kept going. The Christian life is like that sometimes. You know, you feel like quitting. You get discouraged. You don't want to go on. Keep on going on. Get with God. Draw on His strength and run the race with endurance. You'll be glad you did. Well, fourthly, not only is a good run inspired and unfettered and enduring, but also a good run is focused. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. Now, there's where our focus needs to be, on Jesus. And he goes into great detail about that. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus was the one who started us in the race. And he's the one that runs with us in the race. And he's the one who's going to be at the goal line when we cross the finish line of the race. The author and finisher of our faith. Who, that is Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself ran the race. He ran the race with perfection. He ran the race with endurance. And he himself has sat down at the right hand of God. He is our mediator, our high priest. He is there waiting for us at the finish line. He's there with us on the track as we run. He's the one who started us and called us to be sons and daughters of God in the first place. He's the one who died to pay for our sins. He's the one who rose from the dead. He is the focus of our gaze. That word looking on him means fixing our gaze upon him. We're to fix our gaze on him. This is not a passing glance. Oh, we can glance at those in the stands and gain some inspiration there. But our gaze is to be on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He ran the race with perfection, and he encourages us. You get the picture, don't you? You've got all these saints who've gone on before in the stands, but Jesus is at the finish line. Come on. Run. Run. You can do it. Come on. Come on. All the old saints are cheering for us. Run. 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 But Jesus is there also. Run. Run. Come on. Run. Come. Join me where I'm at. We're focused on him. We pray to him. He is our Savior, Christ and Christ alone. And we look to him. Jesus looked beyond the difficulties that were in front of him, past that to the joy which awaited him on the other side. Jesus faced the cross, which was the most cruel and horrendous form of execution in that day, or probably any day. It was so bad that a Roman citizen was not allowed to be crucified. That was only for those who were not Romans, and it was reserved for the worst of the worst. It was a shameful death. It was a painful death. But Jesus was willing to endure that for you and for me. Because in doing so, he paid the price for our sins so that we could be saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He took the death that we deserved. He took the punishment that we deserved so that we could be saved. That was the joy he was looking towards. For us to be saved and be with him forever. Did you know he takes joy in you? It's a joy to him for people to join his family, the family of faith, children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. His example, he is the ultimate example. He endured because of the joy that awaited on the other side. He calls us to endure the trials that we must face for the joy that awaits us on the other side. Oh, there's joy in the journey now. There is. But there's even more joy that waits for us on the other side. Up in heaven. Oh, so many of the old-time hymns talk about heaven. About how wonderful it's going to be up there. And it is. There's so much that awaits us up in glory. If you're running in a race, you have to stay focused on the goal line, the track that you're running on. Could you imagine a runner that's just distracted, just kind of looking around? Well, they're not going to run very fast, are they? That's going to slow them down if they just are distracted and looking somewhere else. A runner who's going to really run well has got to be focused. Focused. And our focus, our gaze is to be on Jesus, who saved us and who waits for us on the other side. I was reminded of the old song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And one of those verses, here are the words to it. "Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." A good run is inspired. A good run is unfettered. A good run is enduring. And a good run is focused. How is your run? Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful for your salvation which you give to us through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who rose from the dead, and who lives forevermore to make intercession for us at the throne of God. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us besides. Lord, it's my prayer today that we would run the race faithfully that you have set before us. It's my prayer today that if there's someone here who has never received Christ as their Savior, they're not even on the track yet, but they can be. If they will receive Jesus as their Savior today, they can be saved and on the road to heaven on the track that you've set before them to run. And for those of us who have received Jesus as our Savior, sometimes we get discouraged, and maybe there's someone here who is discouraged today. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to keep on running and to run well. For at the end, you wait for us with the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I pray that you will comfort those who are going through a rough time right now. And I pray that you will encourage our hearts and strengthen our souls so that we may run the race and bring glory to your name. Lord, maybe there's someone here that you've been speaking with them about a certain type of service that you would have them to do, a certain type of ministry or a certain type of service in your kingdom. And Lord, it's my prayer that you would make that abundantly clear to them and that they would commit to getting into the track that you have for them in the race. And so, Lord, whatever decision you are putting on our hearts this morning, I pray that you will lead us and guide us, and that as the invitation is given in just a moment, that those who need to come for prayer would come and we could pray together. If there's someone who needs to be saved today, we can pray together and they can be saved before they leave today. Maybe someone just has a decision that you've been speaking to them about and they just want to pray about it. Lord, let them come and pray. Either pray with me or pray at the altar, whichever you would lead them to do. Maybe there's someone who's looking for a church home and we just pray that they would make their church home here with us and serve you together with us. Lord, whatever you're laying on our hearts, just lead us and guide us. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen.